This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. On today's show, it's going to be pretty much wall-to-wall coverage of the SARM convention here in Regina, as Ray Orp chimed in on a few topics from rural healthcare to funding for bridges and culverts and reaction to NDP leader Carla Beck's speech. She was addressing the delegates the other day. Also talking to the delegates at the convention was Conservative MP Jeremy Patser. He had an interesting topic during his speech. We'll get into that later in the program. And finally, the farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour with Phil Spivak. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first after the break is a chat with Ray Orb on a variety of topics.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. SARM President Ray Orb found some time to get away from the hustle and bustle of the convention and trade show to talk with reporters yesterday. There were a few topics covered. One of them was federal-provincial funding for RMs to replace or upgrade bridges and culverts.
Yeah, that funding that was announced today is through ICEP, so it would have been, it's actually a funding that was allocated, but announced today. So we're pleased about that. We think that's great. Whenever rural municipalities can qualify for culvert or bridge upgrades, that's exactly what it means. We need to make sure that the public understands. It's so used to have a good road, like a primary road where a lot of traffic is carried on. If we don't have a bridge that also has the same criteria associated to it. So it's a good announcement.
Ottawa is investing $1.3 million, Saskatchewan $2.7 million, and the rural municipalities a combined $4.1 million towards their respective projects. The money on the federal side comes from the Rural and Northern Communities Infrastructure Stream of the Investing in Canada Infrastructure Program. While the announcement was good news, Orb says he is more concerned about the federal government possibly changing certain programs.
I think we're more concerned about ongoing programs that the federal government is talking, even the Community Building Fund, the Canadian CCBF, that's actually the old gas tax program. The federal government is talking about changing criteria on that now for communities over 30,000. It won't affect all that many communities in Saskatchewan, but they're saying they want to tie it to housing. So for the rural communities, the RMs, housing is not as much of an issue as it is for the urbans. So we're concerned if the government does that, they might come back next year and say, well, now we want communities over 1,000 to do the same criteria, and that would actually hurt RMs because they won't be able to get the funding they need. Instead, the feds will be pushing, you know, for funding that they think we should have. That's an ongoing discussion.
He says FCM President Scott Pierce will be addressing delegates today at 3:15 p.m. Orb was also asked about his thoughts on a recent announcement from the provincial government regarding new initiatives to enhance the role of nurse practitioners. It includes a pilot to set up nurse practitioner clinics, adding 25 new positions over the next year, and expand what nurse practitioners can do. Orb's main concern is ensuring rural communities have them.
You know, we're really hoping that that's the case, that it's going to target some key areas where they are short. We know that there are about 10% of the nurse practitioners that are trained in this province that have actually left that field. So some of those NPs would be, they would be working in the nursing field because they are registered nurses to start with, to qualify for that nurse practitioner designation. So some of them have actually left that field. We're a little bit concerned about that. We think if there are over 300 of these NPs that are out there that aren't working, we'd like to talk to the government a little bit more about them. Why aren't they working? Do they need some some special subsidies to get them out into rural Saskatchewan. And some of what the announcement was, I think, may focus on that. However, we're not sure exactly if that will be enough, because we know there are problems. It doesn't matter who you talk to in rural Saskatchewan, really. They have some issues, maybe not always with NPs, but it could be a local clinic that's not staffed. So we're hoping the government pays more attention on that file.
Orb also reacted to NDP leader Carla Beck's speech, which he applauds Beck for expressing her opposition to the federal carbon tax.
I'm glad she said what she did about the carbon tax, because that's one thing that we're really feeling the impact from. We tried to get exemption for farmers through Bill C-234. Like an exemption on grain drying. And the federal government really is, I think the House of Commons really has been dragging their feet on it. They're not able to get that through. It was at the Senate and came back. Unfortunately, we're going to look at another increase April 1st on the carbon tax. So I'm hoping they're on the same side. They need also to be on the same side. The NDP needs to be on the same side with oil and gas development. They need to support pipelines as well. Many of our members in the southeast, many on the west side of the province rely on oil and gas, through linear taxation and things like that on pipelines. So they need to support those industries too. I didn't hear as much about that. And agriculture, I think, would be the other one where they historically, we know NDP, when they were in power, made some cuts to agriculture. So I'm not sure if they're exactly on the same page as our members, but we respect what she had to say.
That's SARM President Ray Orb. Coming up next, we'll hear from NDP leader Carla Beck and her speech, what she had to say to delegates, and a whole lot more. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the program. The leader of the official opposition told delegates at the SARM convention that it's going to take a lot of work to win this year's provincial election, but she loves a good underdog story. During her speech yesterday afternoon, Carla Beck says they're going to build trust among voters.
I intend, and we intend, to keep working like we have been, to build trust, to keep putting forth common sense solutions built with you and with input from people across our province. And I want to continue to not only say, but to demonstrate the shared values and the shared goals that we all have for this beautiful province that we are lucky enough to call home.
One thing she shares with a lot of Saskatchewan residents is her opposition to the federal carbon tax.
Let me be clear about this. I absolutely stand against Ottawa's carbon tax. I've made that clear here, in the legislature, in Ottawa. Yes, I have picked up the phone. I also made it clear in the leadership when I ran to be the leader of the Saskatchewan NDP. I have never had a problem standing up for what I believe in or for what is right.
Beck also talked about her vision of making Saskatchewan successful, which involves getting back to basics.
I know that the best decisions are made locally, they're made cooperatively, and they are made with the people who are most impacted and have the firsthand knowledge. I also know that that's true in every single sector and in every single community in this province. And I can guarantee, and I hope we have the opportunity to demonstrate, this is a team that's committed to doing that work. Reaching out and making those connections, getting back to basics, and getting the basics right. In this province right now, that means lowering costs, healthcare, where and when you need it, and making the investments to ensure we have real connectivity here in the province.
After her speech, I asked Beck how her party can gain rural people's trust, given the NDP have not fared well in rural areas for years. She answered it all comes down to visiting communities they haven't been in enough and demonstrating a willingness to listen to others. She pointed to the leadership of SARM President Ray Orb as an example.
There's a willingness to bring people together, to work with all levels of government, to really have that single focus on not on the rhetoric or picking the fights, but have that focus on finding solutions in this province. The other thing, I think, is talking to people about their hopes and the opportunity that is present in this province. And I also see that in every corner of the province. We have abundant resources. We have people that have a history of hard work and creativity to get things done, whether that's in the ag business sector, whether that's in healthcare, creative sector. It's something I'm incredibly proud of. And I find that the more that we're out talking to people, not just myself, but our whole team, the more we are hearing that. People are looking at us, they're looking for change, and we hope to continue to build on that.
That's NDP leader Carla Beck. Meantime, Premier Scott Moe will be at the convention this afternoon. First, a speech to delegates at 1 o'clock, followed by the Bear Pit session at 1:30. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today is Ag Review with Doug Falconer, followed by the Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak, and then we'll get right back into our coverage of the SARM convention. The program will return right after these messages.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
One broker says he expects canola prices on the Intercontinental Exchange to make their way lower for the balance of the month. Ken Ball of PI Financial in Winnipeg believes canola will pull back. He suggests the dryness across the Canadian prairies could become a major issue if there's insufficient moisture by seeding time. After a stretch of declines, Ball says ice canola futures received support from seasonal rebounds and from some short covering. However, that rally hit pause yesterday due to an increase in farmer selling. Cash prices for canola on Tuesday hit $14 Canadian per bushel. Ball is hearing reports of growers selling canola in droves, noting they hung on to it for most of the winter and were now eager to sell it ahead of spring planting. Meantime, oilseed processors in Canada crushed a record amount of canola during the 2023 calendar year, according to a report from Statistics Canada released yesterday. A total of 10.523 million metric tons of canola were crushed in the country in 2023, which was up by 20% from the previous year and above the previous record of 10.29 million metric tons set in 2020. Meanwhile, Canada's soybean crush decreased by 5.7% in 2023 to 1.763 million metric tons. Oil production totaled 4.422 million metric tons for canola and 329,856 tons for soybeans. Meal production totaled 6.2 million metric tons for canola and 1.371 million tons for soybeans. High prices and increased exports of canola oil were behind the strong canola crush pace, according to StatsCan. In 2021, the price of canola oil increased by 65.2% over the previous year, and it has remained elevated ever since. Protein Industries Canada has announced a new project to increase the value of sunflower and hemp products in partnership with Burcon Nutriscience, HPS Food and Ingredients, and Puratos Canada. A total of $6.9 million has been committed to the project, with Protein Industries Canada committing $3 million and the partners together committing the remainder. Burcon is working to extract hemp protein isolate, sunflower protein isolate, and sunflower protein concentrate from hemp and sunflower flour, respectively. These ingredients are in demand by food and beverage companies. These first-in-the-market ingredients will meet the growing needs of food and beverage companies as they work to provide Canadian consumers with a wide variety of nutritious, sustainable, and flavor-neutral protein options. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, the forecast is looking like a slight chance of a few flurries this afternoon, and for the most part, a cloudy sky.
Yeah, and that's the key is a slight chance, because even if we get some of those flurries, there are not a lot around, and there will not be a lot around, but there will be some in the air for the afternoon, especially right in the middle part of the afternoon. They'll be generally insignificant. They'll be drifting, but not really blowing because the wind is not strong, not accumulating because they're too light. So pretty uneventful. Mention them because they could be there. Otherwise, they're of no impact for us. Mostly cloudy sky, though that will hold on. A little bit of clearing coming in through tonight, maybe partly Sunday, tomorrow. Maybe mostly cloudy, partly sunny. Glass half full, half empty either way. 2 degrees this afternoon for the high, down to -3, then slowly rising tonight. It's a gusty southwest wind, though, that accompanies that rise. Wind chill, not a big factor at these temperatures, but certainly it'll be noticeable when the wind starts picking up, gusting to 50, even 60 kilometers per hour through the early part of the day tomorrow. The winds should peak tomorrow afternoon with those gusts to around 60 and then start to drop back off. It'll still be breezy for Friday night, 20 to 30 kilometers per hour sustained, even some gusts to 40, but the highest gusts are gone. And through the day on Saturday, most of the winds should really settle down. It is milder tomorrow. After rising overnight, we get to 6 degrees tomorrow afternoon, dropping back to -5 for Friday night, and 2 degrees on the plus side for Saturday. The wind will shift around into the north. It's not initially a cold wind, but it is cooler, and a strengthening shot of cold air comes in for Sunday, and that will leave us struggling to get above freezing. I think -2 will get very close to it, but still just short. That's the exception, because we're right back up to 5 degrees for Monday and pretty close to that Tuesday as well.
Thank you very much, Phil. The normal highs for this time of year, 0. Normal lows, -12. Sun rose in Regina at around 7:13 this morning, and the sun will set at around 7:03 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia and Estevan, -1. Mooseman, -2. Saskatoon and Swift Current, 0. Yorkton, Melville, and Weyburn, -3 degrees. The warm spot in the province is in Buffalo Narrows at 4.8 degrees, and the cold spot is in Stony Rapids at -6.5 degrees, although that's not that cold. Anyway, in Regina, it is a cloudy sky. West-northwest wind at 10 kilometers an hour, humidity 91%, temperature -1 or 30 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 103.2 and rising. In Moose Jaw, likely cloudy, west wind at 13 and the temperature +1. Again in Regina, cloudy, west-northwest wind at 10 kilometers an hour, temperature -1. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. There are many exciting things on the way for agriculture and industry, but they depend on internet access, and if there isn't a strong enough connection, they will be missing out on opportunities. Rural broadband was the theme of a speech from Conservative MP for Cypress Hills Grasslands Jeremy Patzer, who was at the SARM convention yesterday.
It's something that we have to keep talking about. And it's something that we need to keep bringing up over and over again until it finally gets done for the people living in small towns or out in the country. You guys are the ones who need the most help with getting fully connected to reliable internet that works. And that should be the measure of success, nothing else. It's one thing for the federal government to make announcements about how much money they want to spend on broadband. But the bigger thing, it's not how much you spend or how grand the announcements can be. But what it is what are you actually going to truly accomplish, and what are you actually going to be able to get done? I know there are several people in this room here today. I've talked about for a number of years about how to apply for funding, how to get projects started and get them going. And we're slowly starting to finally see that happen. But it's taken far too long to get that done. There's too many gatekeepers in the way.
Patzer noted having reliable internet in rural areas will not only benefit people who live there already, but also people who may consider moving there, which would grow the community and ease some of the housing and employment crunch in Canada. He also said minimum internet speeds are 50 megabytes download and 10 megabytes upload.
This is a goal which your organization shares, and of course we can all get behind it. For sure that'd be an improvement with better internet, but we should remember to look at it as the minimum. Where most people get stuck isn't necessarily on the download side, although you definitely need 10 megabits if you want to be able to watch a high quality streaming service at your home. Where people run into trouble, and this is where the business side of using the internet quite often gets tricky, is actually on the upload side. If you have the security cameras on your property, for example, if you use the internet for grain bin monitoring or water level monitoring, you need adequate upload speeds. Google Nest, for example, which is a very popular product, requires 4 megabits of upload speed to get videos onto the cloud. Now, that's an example of how there are different things to consider with many broadband projects. Now, if I can make one recommendation to you guys, when your RM or any of your ratepayers are talking about applying for funding or meeting with any of the telcos, be sure to ask that the service provided will be able to run a business level of service and to be stable. The deployment of fiber optic around the province is helping to ensure this, but it is important with the last mile deployment that you get absolute certainty and clarity before purchasing.
Affordability is another part of the internet puzzle, and Patzer pointed to Starlink as a positive example.
Despite all other challenges, the deployment of Starlink has actually been a breakthrough for quite a few rural communities, for our farmers and ranchers. The gear does run a household about $600 on the initial purchase, but when you consider that the average cost per home connected through federal grant programming runs upwards and in excess of $2,500 per home, that cost all of a sudden becomes much more serviceable. This has been an especially big advancement and boost for the business community, including farmers and ranchers, as there's so much more available to you online in these recent days. Everything from being able to bid on and sell livestock and machinery online, to having digital controls that allow you to monitor your bins and make sure the quality of your harvest is being preserved, even while you're on vacation out on a warm beach somewhere.
The federal government's goal is to have all households have access to high-speed internet by 2030. A chart from the CRTC shows the 2021 target for Canadian households to have access to high-speed internet was 90%. While the bar showing Canada reached 91.6%, urban households carried the load at 99.2%, and rural was behind at 62.8%. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. The show will return right after this, but a little bit of a preview of what's coming up after the break. We'll have someone from Farm Credit Canada talking about a recent report they came out with regarding farmland values.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. There was a surprisingly small increase in 2023 irrigated farmland values in a report the other day from Farm Credit Canada. After a 26% increase in 2022, it was barely 3% last year. Ken Gurney is the senior appraiser for Farm Credit Canada in Saskatchewan.
Looking at the data, that was sales of existing irrigation projects. So irrigated quarter, all up and running, turnkey property, those were the sales that were entered into that report. 2023 was a little bit different. There was the beginning of an irrigation development program, and that's through Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership. Landowners of cultivated dry land that it was near a water body, they were able to apply and still able to apply for a grant to develop that land from cultivated dry land to irrigated land. So for 2023, the demand shifted from going and purchasing existing irrigated land to developing irrigated land.
Ken Gurney is the senior appraiser for Farm Credit Canada in Saskatchewan. Up next is the market update. We'll have a look at how some of the commodities are doing in early trading today, including chickpeas, which is way down by a lot. It's one of those commodities I notice that it doesn't change a whole lot, but when it does, it's by a significant amount. Find out how much right after the break.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were down in early trading today. Canola is up, though, by $4 to $5.90.42 a metric ton. Chickpeas is way down by $176.36. That's a lot. To $9.92.08. And number one red spring wheat is down $1.92 to $2.99.56. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $3.98.40. Feed barley, $2.25.58. Flax, $6.06.04. Lentils, $7.21.50. Oats, $2.76.32. Yellow peas, $4.37.98. And feed wheat, $2.12.38. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 4¾ cents at $6.58¾ a bushel. Up next is the livestock report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now, here are the latest livestock quotes.
Good afternoon, cattle producers. Here is your Heartland Livestock Services market report for the weekend, March 15th. What a run we had this week. After 2 weeks of unfavorable weather, the cattle came to town. With 3,275 feeders in the pre-sort and 549 cows and bulls, we finished the day with 3,824 head. Here are some highlights. On the steer trade, 492-pound buckskin steers at 487, 713-pound buckskin steers at 375, 785-pound buckskin steers at 354, 926-pound buckskin steers at 320. On the blacks, 420-pound blacks at 514. We had 102 black steers weighing 639. They sold for 410. And 782-pound black steers at 351. On the red X side, 560-pound red X steers at 445, 647-pound red X steers at 406, and 941-pound red X steers at 313. On the heifer trade, 569-pound buckskin heifers sold for 380, 634-pound black heifers at 347.5, 639-pound red X heifers at 357, 707-pound black heifers at 330, 787-pound red X heifers at 313, 861-pound buckskin heifers at $3. Cow and bull trade was stronger in all classes. D1, D2 cows, 145 to 160, sales to 168, 174. D3 cows, 120 to 140. Thin Shelly older cows, 75 to $1.15. Our cows average 147.19. On the bull trade, good strong hard bulls, 170 to 180, sales to 185. Medium bulls, 140 to 160. Our bulls average 167.63. Reminder, we have a sheep in sale this Friday, the 15th, producers. This has been Carter Sela with your Heartland Livestock Services Yorkton Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
The latest pork prices are at $198.61 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
The Saskatchewan Research Council's Rare Earth Processing Facility is getting $6 million in funding from Prairies Can, a federal department that supports economic growth in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. The money will establish a process to remove separate unrecovered rare earth oxides from radioactive tailings that would otherwise be disposed of, resulting in additional rare earths enough to manufacture up to 65,000 EVs per year. The funding also helps to develop an automated metal smelting process to produce commercial-grade rare earth element metals. On the markets, the TSX is down 188 points at 21,781. The Dow is down 210 points to 38,832. Oil is up $1.72 at $81.44 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.90 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. You can also find the podcast at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. That's going to do it for Thursday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.